Hello, this is Sue Lloyd, Vice Chair of the ISSB. I'm recording this today with our Chair, Emmanuel Faber. And I'm recording this podcast here from Montreal, where we've just had our May board week. And Emmanuel, unfortunately, this time is joining us remotely. But today in the podcast, we're going to talk about some of the recent travel we've been doing, provide some insights from this week's board meeting, and have a little bit of a look ahead of what's coming up for the ISSB. So Emmanuel, I'll let you kick off.
Thank you, Sue. Welcome, everyone. And as Sue said, the dog and pony show of ISSB this time will have certainly the same look, but the different feel because the dog broke its leg. But its voice is okay, so I'm super happy to record this podcast with Sue here. And I'll start with meetings in Washington. My leg was still okay. And we had engagement during the spring meetings of the World Bank and the IMF in Washington, D.C., with a number of our U.S. Market participants, industry and investor associations, the firms and others, to continue to work on the dialogue that supports the work that we do for companies and investors globally. We also were there and got really interesting meetings with the World Bank, with the IMF and others. We announced the signature of an MOU with the Inter-American Development Bank, IDB, as well as IDB Invest to promote the adoption of our standards across Latin America and the Caribbean, with a focus on three areas which are critical for the uptake in emerging economies and lower income jurisdictions, about knowledge sharing, capacity building, and advocacy and policy engagement using the tools that our regulatory engagement team have developed. So it was great to be there in person for the signing and great to see as well the momentum developing in Latin America around our global baseline. And Sue, what else have we done recently?
Well, firstly, I should remind people that we published an exposure draft with some targeted amendments to our climate standard S2. We published that late in April and it's open for comment until the 27th of June. And we really encourage people to take a look at it and tell us what you think. I think there's a particular interest to entities in the financial sector, those with banking activities and insurance and assets under management should, I think, in particular, take a look with some clarifications around which Scope 3 Category 15 emissions information needs to be provided about and the information about industry classification for financed emissions in those industries, and also those of you in jurisdictions where there are particular requirements around global warming potential values you need to use for measurement, take a look because there's some reliefs in there that should help you, but we want to make sure that we've got it right. So please write to us. So that was the ED we issued at the end of April. And I think in our last podcast, Emmanuel said it's the start of ED season, exposure draft season, which it certainly is. And at this week's main meeting, we talked about the upcoming proposals to enhance our industry-based SASB standards. And so at the meeting this week, we heard from the staff about the enhancements we're proposing on 9 industries that we have identified to work with on a prioritized basis, which covers 8 industries in the extractive sector and the processed foods industry. That's the core focus of these proposals, a deep dive into all of the disclosures on those 9 industries. And in addition, when we've looked at the enhancements for those 9 industries, we've identified some disclosures which are the same as or very similar to disclosures in other industries, I think 41 other industries. And so we are proposing to take the opportunity to align those disclosures as a consequence of what's proposed on those 9 priority industries. And in addition to that, as you might remember, our industry guidance in the climate standard S2 was based on the SASB standards. We took the climate specific metrics from the SASB standards and essentially replicated them in S2. So the other thing that the exposure draft will propose is keeping the alignment in S2. So any of the proposed changes to the SASB standards that relate to climate will ask our stakeholders whether they agree we should update the industry guidance in S2 as well to make them consistent with the SASB standards. This is going to be a really big moment for us, and I really hope that you all engage with us on this exposure draft because it covers a lot of different things, as you've just heard there. And one of the things that we talked about actually at the board meeting this week is that people may well approach these proposals in different ways. So we know there'll be some who will be interested in commenting on everything. So the audit firms, for example, might want to comment on everything. But there's going to be some who may only be interested in commenting in a particular industry that they are closely associated with, either as a preparer or as an investor. So for example, if you're interested in processed foods, you might just want to look at those proposals and answer the questions about processed foods. Or where we've made updates or proposed updates to disclosures on a topic in the nine industries, and then on these other standards, as I mentioned, for example, on something like workforce health and safety, if you're particularly interested in that, you might want to look at those proposals across the standards. So to facilitate that, we are planning to have a survey which will accompany these proposals, which will allow stakeholders to identify what you want to focus on and highlight for you the questions to look at to focus your attention. So you don't have to read the whole document if it's not relevant to you. So we are hoping to publish this exposure draft around the end of June. Because these are proposed amendments to the SASB standards, that will be a ratification decision that the board will be asked about at our June meeting. And after that, shortly after that, we'll publish this for your comment. In addition to the ED, we're also going to be publishing some educational materials at the same time, which will explain how to use the SASB standards in conjunction with the ISSB standards to make sure that people really understand how they go together and how we propose that the SASB standards can be used by companies to help them identify what climate-related risks or what other sustainability-related risks and opportunities to provide information about, and also to help them to identify the disclosures that might be decision useful. So these SASB standards are really a great help for companies to enable them to provide high quality decision useful information to investors, but in a very targeted, focused way relevant to their particular activities. In June, we'll vote on what the comment period length will be, but it will be at least 120 days, which is the typical length of time for an exposure draft issued by the ISSB or the IASB. So keep an eye out for that. The other thing that we are getting ready to publish is our transition plan guidance. And some of you who listen to us regularly might remember that last year we took responsibility for the disclosure-specific materials that the transition plan task force had produced. And as an initial step, we put those on our Knowledge Hub. And since then, we've been developing some educational materials which draw on those transition plan task force materials and bring them in to formal educational material of the IFRS Foundation and show really clearly how the disclosures about transition plans relate to the requirements in S2. And this is all about making sure that the information provided about a company's plans to reduce greenhouse gas emissions if they have them and to adapt to climate change for resilience, how that information should be provided in a high quality way to ensure that it's decision useful for investors. And also we will be encouraging jurisdictions and companies to use this guidance when they apply S2 because it really helps to enhance this global baseline of disclosures to meet the needs in the market. And by building on this common material, we can address the risk of fragmentation. It means that everybody can point to a common set of disclosures. And if jurisdictions want to require additional information, for example, on particular policy objectives in a jurisdiction to ask companies, for example, to explain how they're going to achieve particular climate targets that the jurisdiction is interested in, they can add that on as a building block. So we're really excited about this material. We think it should be really helpful for companies and jurisdictions, and we expect that to be published also around the end of June. So lots to look out for coming up in the near future as we work to really try to help support people using S1 and S2 with all of this work we're doing here. So with that, Emmanuel, what else is going on?
Well, I mean, what else isn't enough?
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, Sue, you know, after the board week discussion here, I do believe, and I just want to, you know, say how much I feel grateful to the staff for the work that they did and for the board, because the work on SASB has been work that is incredibly granular and strategic, based on what we know of how decision useful and cost effective industry-based standards are. The work on TPT that we took legacy of about a year ago, not even a year ago, is one that I continue to meet central bankers, supervisors, regulators, investors, insurers, banks that say how much it is needed that they can read transition plans, both for transition risks and adaptation on physical risks on climate, that are critically comparable through industries so that they can understand the risks on their portfolios. So these are both incredibly important assets that we are going to bring to the market to indeed support the creation of this global baseline. And so, I don't think we could underestimate the importance of what is going to be delivered in about a month's time by the ISSB and our staff here. But as you are asking what else is coming up, never ends, of course. And I'd add maybe a couple more things here. One is we will also soon be launching our e-learning program, which I personally think is an excellent primer for those who are new to the ISSB standards. It takes about 4 hours to complete through a pretty simple interactive learning system, and it's entirely free. And so I would really encourage all of you who are in this situation to do look out for that and share with your friends and colleagues to help them understand more about our global baseline, as we can see that this language is complex to learn. It is a demanding language if it is really meant to be decision useful for capital allocation. The next thing I'd say is about bringing transparency on where the global baseline is in its development from a jurisdictional standpoint. So about a year ago, at the Athens IOSCoRES meeting, we announced the first 20 plus jurisdictions that had committed to adopt or use the ISSB standards, and we published our jurisdictional adoption guide. Part of that guide was about a description of the approaches to adoptions by the jurisdictions so that the market is well informed about whether they plan to partially incorporate or to fully adopt or to adopt climate only, so that they understand where the jurisdiction is, and on the other side, that both investors and companies know what to expect in that particular jurisdiction. So the IOSCoRES meeting this year was in Doha. It's been hugely successful, and we are now expecting to announce soon, probably in June, the first set of jurisdictional profiles after the release of the inaugural jurisdictional guide. So this is a continuing work in progress, but a big milestone in terms of actually bringing a precise mapping of where jurisdictions want to go and have committed to go and where they are in their journey. So more to come on that in June. And finally, as you were pointing to the end of June for both the publication of the TPT guidance, but as well as the SASB exposure draft, let me say that the IFRS Foundation conference will be in the middle of the period of those launches. It will be in the middle of the Climate Week in London. The conference will be held on the 23rd and 24th of June. We have great agenda and sessions. You can just check this out on our website. It's going to offer insights and practical takeaways, and it will address the topics that we've just discussed in a much more concrete way in many aspects. So my take is just register to attend in person or online. The registration is open now. Finally, Sue, maybe I understand you're going to be super busy traveling over the next few weeks. I think it would be a good example of the sort of things that we're engaging with our stakeholders. And could you just tell us a little bit about this?
Sure. So while you're resting with your broken leg, I'll be out on the road and doing a lot of engagement, which I'm really looking forward to. I always enjoy chatting to people about our work and hearing what they've got to share with us. So I'm going to start next week in Singapore and Malaysia, where we'll be doing some training sessions in collaboration with local bodies such as ACRA, the Accounting and Corporate Regulatory Authority, and the Institute of Singapore Chartered Accountants and the Stock Exchange in Singapore, and in Malaysia doing some events with the Malaysian Accounting Standards Board. So looking forward to being there. And then I'm going from there to spend some time in Australia, where I'm going to speak at a couple of investor-focused events, the Australasian Investor Relations Association and the Responsible Investment Association Australasia, and also taking the opportunity while I'm there in Australia to meet stakeholders in both Sydney and in Melbourne. So really looking forward to that. And then in early June, I'm going to New York, where we'll have our ISSB Investor Advisory Group meeting, which is always great to hear directly from those who are using the information that comes from our ISSB and SASB standards. So I'll come back with lots of new information, fresh ideas, and having enjoyed engaging with lots of our stakeholders. So that would be great. And with that, I think that's it for today, Emmanuel.
Yeah, and we're happy that you will be back just in time for joining us in Beijing for Board Week next month, where we will record this podcast together again, this time for real. So stay tuned and we'll speak to you there. Thank you.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please take the time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player. To stay up to date with the latest developments from the IFRS Foundation, the International Accounting Standards Board, and the International Sustainability Standards Board, sign up for email alerts on our website, ifrs.org, or find us on social media. Please contact us on communications@ifrs.org with any questions, comments, or suggestions.